I am Maria Dudzak, and today, December 3rd, is the United Nations International Day of Persons with Disabilities, and their theme this year is, finding here, empowering persons with disabilities and ensuring inclusiveness and equality. And here to speak more about some organizations in town that assist people with disabilities, we have Maxwell Mercer from Community Connections, and we also have Bill Montever, who is with SAIL and also wants to share some of his own experiences. Mm-hmm. So good morning to both of you. Thanks.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Maria.
Maybe we could start off first with just... We'll start with you, Bill. Tell us a little bit about SAIL, what SAIL is and what it does.
Certainly. SAIL stands for Southeast Alaska Independent Living. Our primary goal is to promote independent living and advocacy to any individual, whether at any age. We're also the Aging and Disability Resource Center that provides access to screenings for people with who are senior as well as experienced disabilities. We also have the STAR program, which is the short-term assistance grant resource, and that's primarily for people with developmental disabilities. We also offer peer support for people with mental handicaps, et cetera. And we also offer the two ORCA programs. One is for the adults, and they just started about a month ago, a program for youth.
And those are outdoor recreation?
Correct. Outdoor recreation and community access in general.
Okay, great. And Maxwell Mercer, tell us a bit about Community Connections, what it is and does.
Sure. Hi, Maria. Community Connections, many of you are probably familiar with them. We've been in the community for over 30 years, and we serve lots and lots of people. I think that's one of the things that makes Community Connections unique is the breadth of people that we serve. We serve the elderly. We serve folks who experience developmental disabilities, as well as family and youth who are impacted by mental illness.
And speaking, so there are so many different things I think that we could talk about, but even defining a disability, in a sense, is challenging. Any thoughts on that?
It is really interesting. I was looking at some statistics on my way over here, and they say 1 in 5 people is in some form of disability category, maybe 60 million people. And it is interesting. I think it's also interesting in the respect that it's one of the only minority groups that all of us are already in or could be in tomorrow. You know, we're all just a traumatic brain injury or a stroke or an accident away from having a disability ourselves.
And in many cases, there are, I guess, what we call invisible disabilities.
Very much so. And one of the things that I have found, I personally have a couple of different hidden disabilities, and the people that come into SAIL have one of their biggest challenges and hurdles is trying to get people to understand them and to be able to work with them without constantly introducing themselves as the disability that they own or that they have. And second on to that is many of us don't even know that we have a disability until it's pointed out to us. It's just a lifelong challenge that once you have a disability that you struggle with trying to communicate with the world around you and letting people know that if I am given these treatments or et cetera, then I too can prosper and be a part of the community.
The theme, I like this theme, it's ensuring inclusiveness and equality. Think a little bit about that. Are there ways people can make people more inclusive, either as yourself, if I am a person with a disability, or you encounter someone? What are maybe some ideas on helping people feel more included and understanding of each other?
One of the things that comes to mind for me is the language we use when we're talking about people who experience disabilities. The language we use is important. It shapes the way we think. It shapes our beliefs. Our beliefs influence how we behave, whether we might end up discriminating against somebody or having a prejudice against somebody. So the language that we use can perpetuate stereotypes, or it can acknowledge the contributions of folks with disabilities. And some of you maybe have heard of person first language, where, you know, you, as opposed to saying a disabled person, you say a person with a disability, because that acknowledges the common humanity that we all have, that we're all people first, and we all have common needs and wishes and fears, and we actually are much more similar than we are dissimilar, especially and so we want to try to move away from language that puts the disabling condition as the defining thing to know about a person. And so I would just caution folks to be mindful of the language that they use when making reference to people with disabilities. And remember that we're all a lot more alike than we are different. I know that might sound cheesy, but I believe it. And after being in this business for 20 years, I believe that to be the truth.
Any other thoughts, Bill?
I fully agree with that. The other part that I think of for myself is I have been through periods in my life where I've been in a wheelchair, or I've also had times where I experienced dementia for several months. And the way that people don't interact is more concerning to me than sometimes the way people do interact. Disregarding your choices or your voice, or discounting the fact that you might have a preference or that you might even be aware of the situation that you're in. And especially for people with disabilities, looking away or ignoring them, looking past them, it's very concerning.
I've also heard, I guess, I don't know if you'd call it wheelchair etiquette exactly, yes. But when you encounter someone in a wheelchair, I've been told you should come down to their level. What are some thoughts about that? If you say you run into someone who is in a wheelchair, are there certain ways you should behave, so to speak?
I know for myself and for my friends who currently use wheelchairs, just at least stopping and approaching and acknowledging them, introducing yourself if you don't know them, offering door assistance. Don't be if the person is independent, they will let you know that they can get the door, whatever it is. But first of all, recognize them. Look at them in the eye. Secondly, if you can, if you have time, it's going to be a longer conversation. Do get down at eye level. Fortunately, there are some wheelchairs now that come up to standard eye level, and so it's a combination of situations.
Okay.
Yeah, I would second that. I would say connect, if I were to give some advice to the average community member about interacting with people with disabilities, is just do it. Engage. Talk to folks. You know, I think not knowing somebody, or we fear the things that we don't know. Mm-hmm. And the more familiar that we become with another person that may experience a disability, the more comfortable you'll become, the more likely it is that you'll see them as a multidimensional person with interests and dreams and fears and heartache and jobs and all the same kinds of things that the rest of us worry about. And so I think simply engaging and participating with a person with a disability is an important step. Mm-hmm.
Can we also speak a bit about, what do I say, parking spaces? So there are the marked parking spaces for people who have certain disabilities that need to utilize them. Can you speak a little bit about that and kind of the importance of why you should not park there? And I will use myself as an example. I actually had knee surgery. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, we'll give you this, you know, parking thing. I'm like, no, 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 I'll be fine. But when I actually had to walk distances, it was very difficult, very painful. And so I ended up having this, you know, flag. And of course, as soon as I'd get out of the car, people would come and look at me because I didn't appear to have something wrong with me. But it was very difficult getting around. So that, for me, is an example. Mine, of course, was temporary. But in some cases, it is temporary for people, or it could be long-term. But
exactly. The number one thing that I, going through my own personal experience with that, is having multiple sclerosis. There are days that I can walk, and I choose not to use the spaces for persons with disabilities. On other times, I walk 10 feet, I'm exhausted, and I really need access to that closer spot. For someone in a wheelchair, for someone using a walker, someone using crutches, if they don't have access to the wider door opening, etc., if someone chooses to park in between the two spaces that are allotted, they cannot enter or exit. So keep in mind, for those people, where you park and how close you park to those spaces. Two, if you are going in to grab something, you think it's going to be a 5-minute in and out to get milk or whatever, please don't park in that space. Please do take the time to find another place to park, because oftentimes as you're driving through the parking lot, someone is sitting there with the engine running and no one in the car, no sign of it being a car that's been registered for placard or a tag or a permit for that vehicle.
And any other thoughts on that? And that it is that, oh, I'm only there, going to be there a minute, but it could be that minute that someone really needs to use that space. Are there other, and some people have service dogs. Mm-hmm. And are there circumstances, I guess maybe that etiquette of, Don't interact with the service dog, or what are kind of the rules, or are there?
There are rules, and generally speaking, it's do not interact with the dog. You can look at the dog, you can pray, say hello to the dog from standing, and if the person using the dog or the owner permits, then you may, to the point that that person tells you. And the rationale behind that, I used to work with, as a teacher, for people that experience visual impairment and blindness, and going up to a person who's blind and interacting with the dog without them even knowing you're coming up from behind them, et cetera, distracts the dog, distracts them, and creates a little bit of havoc in their life, for just, even if it's momentary, it's still changes what they're focusing on, which could be a safety issue, etc. Plus, they've trained that dog to react to certain situations, and disrupting that can be a pretty big issue.
Okay. So today, you know, it is, we're trying to raise awareness about, again, it's International Day of Persons with Disabilities, and trying to raise more awareness out there. Are there other things that you can think of that people should think about, know about, be aware of? Does anything come to mind?
In my experience working with folks with disabilities, I feel like employment and, or more generally, the opportunity to contribute to society maybe has made as much difference as anything else. And so that's incredibly important. It's important for a couple of different reasons. One of the reasons is that everybody else, the coworkers and boss and the society in general, get to see a person playing a contributing role in society, and so that does a lot of the work of beginning to dispel stereotypes about people, that they're helpless victims, or that they're charity cases, or that that maybe they don't have skills or unique abilities to add to society life. So I think employment is really important. And when I speak with local employers about the potential of hiring individuals with disabilities, one of the barriers is fear. And sometimes the fear comes in a variety of different packages, but sometimes it's fear that they won't be able to fire the person. And I know that sounds funny, but sometimes employers are scared that, if I hire a person with a disability and they're not able to meet the minimum work expectations of the role, that I won't be able to fire them. The employers have anticipatory fear about legal reprisal or other reprisal, but that's simply not true. You know, if a person with a disability takes a job and with training and reasonable accommodations isn't able to do the work to the expectations of the employer can fire them. And so I've just noticed that in interacting here locally.
And speak a bit, I guess, Community Connections offers assistance to help people get employment, and does SAIL do that as well, or are both of these organizations?
Yes, Community Connections, the Senior and Disability Program at Community Connections has a supported employment wing, and they consult with employers and work real hard to try to match folks that have all kinds of different skills and abilities with available employment options. And we can also help the employer in lots and lots of different ways. We can help train the person sometimes. Sometimes we can help putting a worker to work side by side with the employee for a while to make sure that they understand the job and that they have a reasonable shot of doing the job well. And so there's a lot of different kinds of supports that we can offer to local employers. And we do have many wonderful, supportive, amazing employers that work here that employ people with disabilities and have very diverse workforces. And so I want to make sure that that's something that we can all celebrate.
Very good. Okay.
SAIL in and of itself does not necessarily provide direct resources in that realm. However, Melissa O'Brien, I can't even say it, sorry, Melissa O'Brien actually has completed a course for introduction and discovery for the Department of Vocational Rehab, so she will be working in that arena.
Okay. All right. Lots of good information that we're getting today. And again, we are aware of Community Connections and SAIL and opportunities they have there. There's some, support groups and other things. So people certainly can contact your organizations if they have questions.
Absolutely.
Are there other organizations that you can think of in town that, assist persons with disabilities, or you're the main ones?
Well, Aquila or Gateway Center for Human Services provides, I know they provide counseling to adults, and they also have a children's mental health program. There's regional youth care, RYC, that's serving kiddos in more of a residential setting. There are many others, and there's the Division of Vocational Rehabilitation, which you alluded to earlier. KIC actually has both a behavioral health department as well as other programming.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Lots of resources out there. Anything else either of you would like to add?
Item I was thinking about is recently Community Connections did a Stomp the Stigma march through town, which was very successful. And it actually was very beneficial for myself in that being afraid of who you are and your own disability challenges, whatever it may be, prevents you from actually fulfilling your own life's dreams and from being that going into employment or seeking other challenges because you're afraid. of what people might think of you. I know for myself, having a lifelong chronic depression, as well as my mother had schizophrenia. So growing up with that, I was always afraid to let people know that I had in either of those in my life. And it wasn't until I came to Ketchikan and found SAIL and trusting individuals throughout the community that I finally was able to open up and be the person I want to be, and I feel freer and more at ease and at peace. So if we keep that in mind with people we meet, just because you don't see the disability, et cetera, be mindful that the way someone reacts to something you do or the way that they communicate, say, for instance, if I sound a little abrupt or whatever, that may not necessarily mean that it's something you said or the way I feel about you. It may just be the way that I have learned to deal with situations and to be more open-minded to what might be a challenge for that individual.
And we all communicate a little differently.
Yes, yes.
Right. Okay, any other thoughts? Mm-hmm. All right, great. Thank you very, very much for being here.
Thank you.
Bill Montifer from SAIL and Maxwell Mercer from Community Connections. Again, today is the United Nations International Day of Persons with Disabilities, and the theme this year, empowering persons with disabilities and ensuring inclusiveness and equality. So think about that today.